Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, April 7th, 2026. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. And the first story today is titled, Council Will Set Mayor's Salary. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Danville's mayoral election is not until 2027. But the city council will set the salaries for officials starting that year at its Tuesday meeting. At this time, there is just one official candidate for mayor, Dennis Witzman, who announced his candidacy in August of 2025. Signs for Witzman have been spotted recently around Danville, and a committee was formed that supports his candidacy on March 12, 2026. In 2022, the Commercial News reported that the City Council approved salary increases for the mayor, treasurer, and aldermen, setting new terms from May 1, 2023 to April 30, 2027. At that time, it was reported the mayoral pay would increase from $75,000 to $110,000. The city treasurer's pay increased from $45,000 to $65,000, and alderman's pay increased from $225 a month to $300 a month. During that time, Vice Mayor Bob Iverson, who proposed the increases, said the mayor's position was underfunded. The mayor's position, I think, is way underfunded considering the responsibilities and demands of the job. We pay the mayor's position in Danville basically like it was a part-time job. It's not. Responsibilities are every day, 24 hours a day. The demands for the mayor of Danville are always increasing because of state and federal demands, natural disasters, demolitions, economic swings, and hey, even a pandemic, Iverson said at that time. The council will also be amending a section of the city code pertaining to compensation for municipal employees. In other news, the Danville City Council will be deciding whether to approve an amendment to an ordinance about garbage, solid waste, weeds, nuisances, and littering. The council will also decide whether to approve an amendment to Chapter 124 concerning pawnbrokers and second-hand dealers. And they will more than likely approve a submission of a grant application for the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant. Public Works will also discuss the authorization of the application to DCEO's Illinois Regional Site Readiness Program. The council meets at 6 p.m. in the city council chambers. They also stream the audio of their meetings on YouTube. Our next front page story is titled, Deadline Approaches, Trump Widens Threat to Bridges and Power Plants. And this is from the Associated Press. Tehran. President Donald Trump on Monday expanded his threat against Iran to include all power plants and bridges as his ultimatum to make a deal ticked closer after Tehran rejected a 45-day ceasefire proposal and said it wants a permanent end to the war. The entire country can be taken out in one night, and that night might be tomorrow night, Trump said. He suggested that his Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern deadline was final, saying he'd already given Iran enough extensions. The U.S. has told Iran to open the crucial Strait of Hormuz to all shipping traffic or see power plants and bridges wiped out, sparking warnings about possible war crimes. Israel piled on pressure by attacking a major petrochemical plant and killing the intelligence chief for the paramilitary Revolutionary Guard. Tehran, with its rejection, conveyed its own 10-point plan to end the fighting through Pakistan, a key mediator, Iran's state-run IRNA news agency said. We only accept an end of the war with guarantees that we won't be attacked again. Mehtaba Ferdousi Pour, head of Iran's diplomatic mission in Cairo, told the Associated Press. He said Iran no longer trusts the Trump administration after the U.S. bombed the Islamic Republic twice during previous rounds of talks. A regional official involved in talks said efforts had not collapsed. We are still talking to both sides, he said, speaking on condition of anonymity to discuss closed-door diplomacy. And even Trump said negotiations with Iran continued. Trump has issued ultimatums to Iran before, only to find ways to back off. But he was more explicit this time on plans to follow through. Every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 o'clock tomorrow night, he said, and all power plants will be burning, exploding, and never to be used again. Asked if he was concerned about accusations of war crimes, Trump responded, "No, not at all." He suggested that Iranians want the U.S. to carry out its threats because it could lead to the end of their current leadership. Iranian citizens are willing to suffer, he said, in order to have freedom. But there has been no sign of an uprising in Iran as residents shelter from bombardment. International warnings piled up against expanded strikes. Any attack on civilian infrastructure is a violation of international law, and a very clear one, United Nations spokesperson Stephanie Dujarric later told journalists. Egyptian, Pakistani, and Turkish mediators had sent Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi and U.S. Mideast envoy Steve Witkoff a proposal calling for the ceasefire and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, two Mideast officials told the AP. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss the private negotiations. Iranian and Omani officials also were working on a mechanism for administering the strait, through which a fifth of the world's oil is shipped in peacetime. Iran's grip on it has shaken the world economy. Tehran has refused to let U.S. and Israeli vessels through after they started the war on February 28th. Israel struck a key petrochemical plant in the South Pars natural gas field, saying it was aimed at eliminating a major source of revenue for Iran. The field, the world's largest, is shared with Qatar and Iran's biggest source of domestic energy for its 93 million people. The strike appeared to be separate from Trump's threats. An earlier Israeli attack there in March prompted Iran to target energy infrastructure in other Middle East countries, a major escalation. Israel also killed the head of intelligence for Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, Major General Majid Kademi, according to Iranian state media. And Israel said it killed the leader of the Revolutionary Guard's undercover unit in its expeditionary Quds force, Ashgar Bakeri. We will continue to hunt them down one by one, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said of top Iranian officials. New Supreme Leader Mujtaba Khamenei, who still has not been seen or heard in public, issued a rare statement expressing condolences over Kademi. Israeli strikes have killed dozens of top Iranian leaders, including Khamenei's father. Israel's military also said it struck three Tehran airports overnight, Bahram, Mehrabad, and Asmaish, hitting dozens of helicopters and aircraft it said belonged to the Iranian Air Force. A Tehran resident said, "Constantly there is the sound of bombs, air defenses, drones," speaking on condition of anonymity for her safety. Another detailed taking sleeping pills to get through nightly bombardments and said people worry about power, gas, and water cuts. And our final story from the front page today is titled Artemis II Surpasses Apollo 13 Record. And this is by Marcia Dunn from AP Aerospace Writers. Houston. With the moon now filling their windows, the Artemis II astronauts sailed into their lunar flyby Monday, taking in magnificent views of the far side never before witnessed while setting a new distance record for humanity. The six-hour flyby is the highlight of NASA's first return to the moon since the Apollo era with three Americans and one Canadian. A step toward landing boot prints near the moon's south pole in just 2 years. First came a prize and bragging rights for Artemis II. Less than an hour before kicking off the fly-around and intense lunar observations, the four astronauts surpassed the distance record of 248,655 miles set by Apollo 13 in April of 1970. They kept going, hurtling ever farther from Earth. Before it was all over, Mission Control expected Artemis II to beat the old record by more than 4,101 miles. It is blowing my mind what you can see with the naked eye from the moon right now. It is just unbelievable, Canadian astronaut Jeremy Hansen radioed ahead of the flyby. He challenged this generation and the next to make sure this record is not long-lived. Moments after breaking Apollo 13's record, the astronauts asked permission to name two fresh lunar craters already observed. They proposed Integrity, their capsule's name, and Carol, in honor of Commander Reed Wiseman's wife, who died of cancer in 2020. Wiseman wept as Hansen put in the request to Mission Control, and all four astronauts embraced in tears. Such a majestic view out here, Wiseman radioed once he regained his composure and started picture-taking. The astronauts called down that they managed to capture the moon and Earth in the same shot and provided a running commentary to scientists back in Houston on what they were seeing. Some peaks were not so bright. Pilot Victor Glover noted that they looked like as though they were covered in snow. Besides photographing the scenes with high-powered Nikon cameras, the astronauts also pulled out their iPhones for some impromptu shots. Wiseman, Glover, Hansen, and Christina Koch started the momentous day with the voice of Apollo 13 Commander Jim Lovell, who recorded a wake-up message just 2 months before his death last August. "Welcome to my old neighborhood," said Lovell, who also flew on Apollo 8, humanity's first lunar visit. "It's a historic day, and I know how busy you'll be. But don't forget to enjoy the view." They took up with them the Apollo 8 silk patch that accompanied Lovell to the moon and showed it off as the crucial flyby approached. "It's just a real honor to have that on board with us," said Wiseman. "Let's go have a great day." Artemis II is using the same maneuver that Apollo 13 did after its Houston, we've had a problem oxygen tank explosion wiped out any hope of a moon landing. Known as a free return lunar trajectory, this no stopping to land route takes advantage of Earth and the moon's gravity, reducing the need for fuel. It's a celestial figure eight that will put the astronauts on course for home once they emerge from behind the moon Monday evening. More than halfway through the lunar flyby, they ducked behind the moon, beginning a 40-minute communication blackout. During the blackout, the Artemis II astronauts were on track to make their closest approach to the moon, 4,067 miles, and reach their maximum distance of 252,756 miles. At that point, they will be homeward bound, taking 4 days to get back with a splashdown in the Pacific to conclude their test flight on Friday. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for this Tuesday. And the first today is for Courtney Terrell. Courtney Ann Terrell, 40, born June 20, 1985 in Danville, Illinois, passed away tragically on March 12, 2026 in Willamore, Boyerstown, Ireland, as the result of a motor vehicle accident. A visitation will be held on Friday, April 10th, from 3 to 7 p.m. at Grape Creek Baptist Church, located at 13658 Grape Creek Road in Danville. The funeral service will follow on Saturday, April 11th, beginning at 11 a.m. at the church. Burial is to follow at McKendry Cemetery. Randy DeLita. Randy Kevin DeLita, 69, of Georgetown, died Thursday, April 2nd, 2026, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Evergreen Cremation Services, 314 Tiffany Court in Champaign. Christine Farron. Christine, or Chris Farron, 57, of Fairmount, died Sunday, March 29th, 2026, at home. A memorial visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday at Robison Chapel, 103 Douglas Street, in Catlin. Elizabeth Osborne. Elizabeth Ann Osborne, 83, of Westville, died Tuesday, March 31st, 2026, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Evergreen Cremation Services, 314 Tiffany Court in Champaign. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn to the News Gazette for a story by Jennifer Bailey titled Tax-Based Support Proposed for Ambulance Service. Lack of volunteers prompting possible ballot referendum. Oakwood. Oakwood Emergency Rescue Service Director Zach Weddle says he doesn't like it either that local residents could see another tax to support local ambulance service. As an Illinois resident, that's the last thing I want to see. But this is something absolutely needed, Weddle said. Like many other emergency service departments, Oakwoods has had trouble finding volunteers and has been struggling to continue to be self-sustaining financially. We have always been village-owned, Weddle said. We've always been self-supportive through billing, insurance, and all of that. It also had primarily been a volunteer service up to this point. We have gone to a staff model because there's no volunteers, he said. Nobody is volunteering anymore. To get an ambulance to folks, we have to staff. As a result, there is a greater overhead cost. We simply don't have the funding to keep operating an ambulance like this without becoming tax-based, Weddle said. Under a proposed referendum, the ambulance service would be reformed into a special service district that would then be taxpayer-funded instead of a village-owned entity. A special service tax of 0.015% would be levied at about 15 cents per $100 of assessed valuation of residential properties and about 80 cents to $1.10 per agricultural acre. If approved, estimates indicate the average Oakwood homeowner would pay another $150 to $200 on their tax bill. Weddle said this is in an effort to ensure the ambulance service remains viable into the future and can continue to provide emergency medical services to Oakwood, Fithian, Muncie, Collison, Fairmount, Jamaica, and Sidell. The public can have its questions answered and learn more about the proposed November ballot referendum at a meeting set for 6:30 p.m. Thursday at Oakwood Village Hall, 106 South Scott Street. Weddle said in talking to some members of the public and other fire departments and representatives, including with townships, a general consensus seems to show a pretty big support base that it needs to happen. They won't know, however, until they take it to the ballot and voters. Weddle pointed out the special service tax would be the same as most places that have a fire department or fire protection tax. He said it might even be a lower rate than a fire service tax. The ambulance service has not been collecting any taxes, as it's been self-sustaining up to this point. It currently has 5 full-time staff, including Weddle, and 14 part-time employees. He said they are limited, with the part-timers, on the number of hours they can work per year due to Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund requirements of 999 hours a year. Staffing issues can then come up in September or October because the part-timers can't work anymore, he said. Weddle added that their coverage area wouldn't change with the referendum from its current 170 square miles. However, they could look in the future to expand if other areas were willing to work with them. They also could consider more full-time employees. The ambulance service is getting ready to kick off petition signing efforts this month to place the referendum on the ballot. It needs 10% of the voter base in each area to place the special service tax question on the ballot, according to Weddle. They will be going door to door in those areas for petition signatures. And returning to some other local stories from the commercial news, we have high-speed chase leads to arrest for Danville man. And this is a staff report. Danville. A high-speed chase on Thursday has led to arrest and multiple charges for a Danville man. According to a release from the Danville Police Department, officers attempted to conduct a traffic stop on a vehicle in the area of East Main Street and Pennsylvania Avenue for traffic violations at approximately 10:34 p.m. on Thursday, April 2nd. The driver failed to stop, leading officers on a pursuit. During the pursuit, items were discarded from the vehicle. Officers later recovered suspected illegal narcotics, including cocaine, ecstasy, and cannabis, along with an alcoholic beverage. The pursuit ended in the area of English and Jackson Streets, where the vehicle was safely stopped with the assistance of the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department. The driver, identified as 39-year-old Demetrius T.D. Davis, was taken into custody without incident. A search revealed a large amount of U.S. currency. The vehicle was impounded pending further investigation. Davis was issued multiple citations and is facing charges including delivery of methamphetamine, delivery of cocaine, delivery of cannabis, aggravated fleeing or attempting to elude police, and driving while license revoked. No injuries to the public, officers, or damage to vehicles were reported. The incident remains under investigation. The Danville Police Department reminds the public that all suspects are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Next, we have another staff report. This one is titled, Law Enforcement Steps Up Distracted Driving Enforcement. Danville. April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and the Danville Police Department is partnering with the Illinois Department of Transportation, the Illinois State Police, and local law enforcement agencies across the state to step up enforcement efforts. According to a release from the Danville Police Department and Sergeant Eric Olson, Motorists can expect increased patrols looking for drivers texting, social media use, video viewing, and other distracted driving violations. Distracted driving puts everyone at risk, and even a quick glance at a phone can have devastating consequences, said Olson in the release. During April, officers will be looking for distracted driving violations and reminding motorists to put the phone away and focus on the road. Additionally, Olson points out that in Illinois, manually using an electronic communication device while driving is not only dangerous, but also illegal. If you need to send a message, check directions or return a call, pull over and park safely first. Whatever the solution, do not drive distracted. The Illinois Distracted Driving Campaign is funded with federal traffic safety funds administered by the Illinois Department of Transportation. And in Danville, one more staff report, Robinson Street to close Tuesday for sewer repair. The City of Danville announces the closure of Robinson Street for a sanitary sewer repair. According to the release from the city, Robinson, between Madison and Ann Streets, will close at 7 a.m. on Tuesday, April 7th. The street is anticipated to reopen Thursday, April 9th, pending the completion of the work and weather conditions. Motorists are encouraged to use alternate routes and plan for additional travel time due to potential delays. And turning now to the Community Briefs column, we have technology classes for older adults. Teaching older adults about staying safe online, video chatting, and choosing a new computer are just classes offered during a series of free classes at Chris Healthy Aging, located at 309 North Franklin Street in Danville. The classes will run from 1 until 2 p.m. on Fridays until May 1st. Paced for beginners, classes cover a wide range of topics. The ARP Senior Plant Division provides curriculum for each class. Attendees may take as many classes as they wish or choose only classes that fit their needs. No registration is needed. The next session will be on Friday, April 10th. For more information, go to their website, chrishealthyaging.org, or call the office at 217-443-2999. The Danville chapter of AmBucks is currently seeking nominations for our 93rd Annual First Citizen Award. This is an opportunity to nominate someone who has made a positive impact in our community through their selfless dedication to making Danville a better place. Past recipients of this award have committed themselves to strengthening the bonds in our community by establishing innovative programs and projects, encouraging others, or consistently serving selflessly beyond their professional capacity. For any questions about the First Citizen Award or Danville AmBucks, you can email pjhalloran@gmail.com. And Trinity Lutheran Church, located at 824 East Main Street in Danville, is hosting its semi-annual rummage and bake sale from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Saturday, April 11th. Chili, hot dogs, and desserts will be available during the sale. And in Covington, the VFW Post 2395 Auxiliary is hosting a fish fry from 5 to 7 p.m. on April 17th at their post at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington, Indiana. The menu includes fish, fries, baked beans, slaw, and tea. The cost is $15 for the public and $12 for veterans. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, April 7th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you. I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.